First off, I would like to thank Pastor Jimmy for allowing me to preach this morning. I thank you very much. There's other pastors in the house, Pastor Mike from Living Hope Church, Pastor Dennis from Cornerstone. I would like to honor them. Would you please give them a hand? Thank you for your service. Thank you for serving the Lord. I'm sure you dove in here today not wanting to even be acknowledged, but in God's kingdom, there is great honor in being a servant, and so we thank you. Let's pray. Will you want to stand with me? When you're a free person, that means you can move around and you can clap your hands and you can sing the songs. You can be free, right? Like we're not bottled up and we're not stiff, right? Like we're free. We can smile, right, Stacy? Thank you for that smile. Right? It's good to be free. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your freedom. Lord, I ask you that the spirit of freedom moves through every person in this church. Lord Jesus, I pray that by your spirit you would touch them, you would motivate them, you would activate them, Lord, to serve in your kingdom. Fill us now, Lord, with your spirit, and fill us now with your word as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Galatians 5:1 is an awesome verse. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I have three kids. I have a dream for each of my kids. Parents out there, don't you have a dream for them? One of the things that I can't imagine and I can't stand is when my children have burdens. When my children have things that are holding them back. Like, my kids were bullied. I was bullied. You know how mad that makes me? You know how upset that makes me? That's not being free. Being bullied is not being free. But you know, Satan so many times in this world, so many times bullies us and has us living in fear and discouragement. Isn't it true? Discouragement. What a horrible word. I love courage, right? But I don't like discouragement. That's a horrible thing. But here's the truth. You know, last Sunday, we took some time and we set down our burdens, right? We wrote them down. We put them in these suitcases, right? And we're like, we're getting rid of them. We're done. I'm getting rid of those things that people said about me. I'm getting rid of my bad thinking. I'm getting rid of those people, right, who I need to forgive. I'm letting them go. It was a movement. It was an amazing time. But here's the deal. Discouragement is one of the things that causes us to pick those things back up. You can't live in freedom if you're reaching back and you're taking hold of those things and you're listening to the voice of discouragement. See, discouragement is like my oldest friend, Dean. Discouragement has been with me from the beginning, right? I mean, I can't remember a time when my good friend discouragement wasn't there to listen to all my problems, right? He wasn't there to be there for me when I was going through all my struggles, right? I actually give discouragement. We give discouragement power when we don't, when we live in sin, because discouragement lives off the sin and the bad thinking in our life. It lives off those things that we're holding on to. There's a book, Where the Red Fern Grows. You ever read it? That's awesome. Well, there's a scene in there about a boy. He wants to train his dogs, and before he can train his dogs, he's got to train them to follow raccoons, right? And so Grandpa, who's very smart, my grandpa was very smart, old English guy, or old German guy, all he spoke was German. I know a few German cuss words because of my grandpa. That's pretty much all I got from him, but anyway, back to the raccoons. So what he did, Grandpa's very smart, and Grandpa's like, I know how to get a surefire way to catch a raccoon. All you do is you hollow out a piece of wood and you drive some nails in there, right? Just big enough so the raccoon can squeeze his hand in there. The reason why I know this works is because my hand got stuck in here one time. And so the nails are driven in this way, right? But if his hand is open, he can get his hand in. He's like, you put something in the bottom there that he wants, something shiny, something that, you know, smells really good to a raccoon. And you put it in there, and the raccoon slides its hand in there, right? And it grabs onto it. When it grabs onto it, he's stuck. He's not smart enough to let go, right? This is discouragement. When we reach back into our past lives, when we reach back and those old sins and those old things, we grab them because we don't know another way, because discouragement is our old friend, because we believe those lies from the past. We stick our hand in there and we can't get it out. And so what we're doing is we have one hand in our old baggage, right? We got one hand in our bad thinking and our old life, and we're trying to reach the heights, right? We're trying to listen to God and worship Him and being drawn this way, and all of a sudden we're stuck in between. This is not freedom when you're stuck in between. When you have one hand in your discouragement and one hand in God, so many people think, oh, I'm set free. Well, let go of what has you bound and you will be set free. Right? Isn't it true? You know, and in the book, the little boy is like, well, how's that going to catch a raccoon? Because the raccoon can just let go of whatever's in there and then he can be free. But wise old grandpa's like, but he won't let go. Will you let go? Seriously, some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about, because after letting go of the stuff that you had last week, you went right back in this week and you grabbed it. And you lived the same kind of life that you lived before. That's not freedom. Right? We are called to live free. And part of living free is letting go what binds us. Jesus came and set us free. The only reason why this thing is hanging on is because we won't let go of it. So I have a testimony. I get the opportunity to speak, be a camp pastor in a camp in Michigan. And I want to tell you about Ellie. Ellie was a girl who 5 years ago, she came to camp. And she came back this year as a counselor, right? She's a very special lady. She loves God with all of her heart. And so we have a campfire at the end of the day, and we have her have people give testimony. Well, I felt like she was the one that needed to give testimony. She was closest to the age of the camp is 9th and 10th graders. So she gets up and she starts giving her story. Lister, you know who she is. And so she starts giving her testimony how every year she'd go to camp. It's kind of like us going to the altar. You know, we go to the altar and we give stuff up. And every year she'd come to camp and she'd be like, Lord, I give you my life. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do all the right stuff. I'm going to read the Bible because I know that's the thing that I should do, right? I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to go to church. You know, this is the year that I start living my life the way I'm supposed to. Well, she did that for 3 years. And she just couldn't do it. And she and I'm going to abbreviate her testimony. She's like, I came that summer completely discouraged and given up. I just thought I couldn't live it. I couldn't live that life of Christ. But she, when she got to camp and the Holy Spirit began to speak to her, she listened, right? Thank God for a soft heart. And she said that she gave her whole life to the Lord. She had a vision of Jesus when she was taking communion. And she said that the difference that year is that I realized who I was. She's like, when I realized that I was property of Jesus Christ, that He was my love, that He was my life, when I realized who He was, then I realized who I was. For the first time when I saw Jesus Christ at camp, I realized who I was. And she's like, I went back to school and the things that used to matter don't matter anymore. I used to care about what people thought of me. I used to care about my reputation. I used to care about having fun and putting that as a priority in my life. And there's this big struggle because I was still hanging on to who I was, right? But when I came to the realization that the only person that it really matters what they think is God, my life started reflecting Jesus Christ. That was her moment. Because she let go of her past, she let go of what people think, the other priorities in life, and she began to live her life according to what God thought and what not what other people thought. There's 3 points in my sermon. There's actually 4, but I thought I might tire you out with 4. So I'm only going to give you 3. Number 1, know the truth. John 8:31 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The truth of who you are, the truth of who Jesus was and what he did can set you free. See, a lot of people think freedom means being able to choose and do whatever you want to do, right? I'm free. I have no restraints. I can choose what I want. I can please myself. I can go where I want to go. Nobody's telling me what to do. But you know what? That's really not freedom. Because in the spiritual world that we live in, that's actually bondage. Because we believe a lie. You can't be free if you believe a lie. So when Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You have to understand that truth is the basis, the principal thing behind freedom. If you don't know what truth is, if you don't understand the reality of the situation, then you cannot be free. Look, I'm already on my 2nd point. Number 2. This is so significant. This revelation changed my life. Follow the truth, not what you feel. According to scriptures, feelings are not bad. You know, a lot of times we think when we have negative emotions, when we have things in our life that we have a negative feeling to, right, we think that somehow we're sinning or that we can't bring them to God, like we can't voice our frustrations. The reason we can't is because we're ashamed of them. We're like, well, I shouldn't be feeling that way anyway, so I'm just going to trap these things. I'm going to keep them inside of me, right? You have to understand what your feelings are and when to follow them and when to let them go. See, God gave us this incredible ability to process everything that goes around us, right? And to make it life inside of us and then discharge what we don't need, right? Air. We have lungs. God made it. We breathe in air. We discharge what we don't need, right? Water. Right? We bring in water and we discharge what we don't need. Food. We take in food, right? This is how we live. Well, guess what? Your emotions are exactly the same way. Whenever you live and you experience anything in your life, you are going to have an emotion about it. Some emotions are going to be wahoo, right? I had an incredible week this week. It started off amazingly. First thing, I went into work 6:30 in the morning, stop at my favorite convenience store, get a free soda. Being a part of a rewards program is very rewarding, right? This is awesome. I go into work, new truck. New work truck, brand new, 1,900 miles on. Is that a good day? Yeah, it's a good day, right? So I go up on my business, you know, I take care, you know, my stuff. I stop in for my Diet Coke in the afternoon. Guess what? Free rewards program. What the heck? This is a good day, right? I'm like, wow, too. I don't know how it happened, but bless Jesus, right? Drive all day long. By the way, it was about 420 miles that day. Yeah, it was a long day. So I get done. I fuel up. And you know what they give you when you fuel over 50 gallons? A free Diet Coke! Free, free, free! I get into work, my boss is already, he should have been gone. I get into work, he's still there. He comes out to meet me. It's a good day when your boss comes out to meet you, right? He's like, oh, I just wanted to carry stuff in for you. You know, I didn't want you to leave. Boss didn't want me to leave. Anyway, so I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, I have a problem. He's like, I'm really running behind. He had someone on vacation. He's like, I'm going to need you to come in about an hour late tomorrow. What? Right? I get to come in late tomorrow. You want me to come in late? You want me to sleep in? You want me to hit snooze on my alarm tomorrow morning? I'm like, this is the best day ever. Right? I get home. I tell my wife about it. I'm like, hey, what can we do? Well, things are going good. Let's try something. Doesn't matter what. It's a great day. Right? But freedom truly is a state of mind, right? You ever meet those people you meet in the gas station or you meet in the store? Or maybe you work with them and they're like, oh man, God is good. I'm living the dream, right? And you're like, you are sick. There's something wrong with you, right? I don't think the connectors connect in your brain. Like, I don't know what happened to you, but there's something wrong with that guy right there, right? But it is true that freedom and a positive attitude and joy is infectious, isn't it? When someone says, hey, man, I'm living the dream, would you usually come back, well, my day really stunk? Right? No, you're like, oh, cool, right? Like, it's contagious. Freedom is contagious. When we set down our burdens and we're in an atmosphere of a church that are all doing the same thing, it's contagious. It's powerful. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So these feelings that we have, I got to tell you a story about my friend Kathy. Kathy is a program director at the camp, and Kathy is a person, whenever she gives a testimony, she cries. You know that person? Right? You know, what's God doing in your heart? Well, John 3, just a minute. Right? Give me a minute. Right? And she's the person, I mean, she's up there giving her testimony and she's just crying and she's got the ugly, sad face. You know what I'm saying? Like, when she starts to cry, her face starts crumbling up. I know you can't see because I have a glorious beard, but if you could see my face, you know, she is in it and she's like, I'm so embarrassed about it. And so she came and talked to me and I said, man, your testimony was just incredible. And it really spoke to a lot of the kids that are here. It even, you know, I'll never forget your testimony. And first thing she says, I'm so sorry that I cried through the whole thing. That's an emotion that's coming out. You know, I remember Mariah. We have a daughter. She's 22 now. But she was part of our youth group. And whenever we would worship or have an intense worship time, she would cry. There's been people that have come to our church, and they're like, man, every time I come here, I cry. Right? That's an emotion that is pouring forth out of you. Right? That's another part of your heart. And a lot of times, you know, what I told my daughter when she was, I don't know, she was 4 or 5 years old, I'm like, well, maybe the Lord's healing your heart. You know? But I didn't understand. And I didn't see or acknowledge the story of Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. She was one that followed Jesus around. She had done horrible things in her life. She had not followed God. She lived under guilt and shame her entire life. She made bad decisions. But 3 days before Jesus was crucified, she came to him and she started crying when she was very near him. And she started washing Jesus' feet with her tears. You know, sometimes when we cry, that emotion is worship. It doesn't mean anything's wrong. It doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. There's no shame in it, right? Those tears are worship. It's what proceeds from us. What were we made for? To worship God, right? And we worship God. Whatever proceeds out of us, God is going to count as holy when we worship Him. And those tears are a beautiful thing. So if you're a crier and you worship, just cry, because the Lord counts them as tears. Emotions are something that Where do you learn how to handle emotions in your life? Where do you learn them from? Good question, right? I don't know. Kids just blow up. They just cry. They drop their popsicle, and there's tears all over the place, right? Well, I can tell you emotional regulation and what you do with your emotions is modeled by mom and dad. Now, I'm not saying that your kid aren't going to completely throw a fit, even though you never throw a fit as a parent. And you'll act the same, you know, that your kids are acting the same as you. I'm not saying that in every case, but I am saying that when I see kids who are acting out and are furious, right, and are aggressive and assertive, and they're just all over, uncontrollable, many times it goes back to what is modeled in the family, right? Emotional regulation is something that moms and dads have the responsibility to coach and to teach. Kids are going to throw a fit, but it's our job as mom and dads to show them how to cope with it and what to do with that emotions, right? Most people, and I know a lot of them, that they just blow up, right? They get thrown out of home base and they blow up, right? They miss the three-pointer, they miss the shot, and they throw their club. I would never golf with anyone that would throw their club after they golf, right? But emotional, I don't know why you guys are laughing. It's in my notes. So that is a huge danger, right? Because we just explode and our emotions come out. You know what the source of that many times is? I want to tell you a story about a girl at camp. Her name is Ella. She's a, I don't know, 13-year-old girl. She lives in Michigan. I've forgiven her for that. Sorry. I mean, if you're from the UP, that's kind of okay. You know, it's... anyway, so we had an emotional night. The Lord really moved in our service, and there's a lot of crying, a lot of repenting, a lot of people coming back to the Lord. And Ella's a little girl who her whole cabin surrounded her and prayed for her. She was just crying uncontrollably and wouldn't be consoled, right? Do you ever meet somebody like that? They just won't be consoled. And I hadn't really noticed. I noticed that, you know, her cabin mates had moved off and her counselor moved off, and she was still sitting with her hands, you know, on her head and just crying. And so I went up to her. The Holy Spirit directed me to. And I'm like, I just feel like I need to talk to you. And so she's crying, so I went and got some Kleenex for her. And the Holy Spirit told me that she had something that she had to tell me. So I went up to her and I said, well, the Lord's telling me you have something you need to say to me, right? And she started crying all the more, so there's more Kleenexes. And I knew what the Lord said, and I told her, look, either I'm going to look really stupid right now or you're going to tell me something that you need to say. And she told me her secret. She said that her mom and dad are going through a divorce. And it was really hard on her family. But I knew there's more. You know, when it partially happens, when you feel like you have a partial release, when the Lord tells you something and it's not quite all the way there, and I sat there and listened, and the Holy Spirit's like, she blames herself. So I said, do you blame yourself for that? Then the tears came flowing, right? And I got an opportunity to pray for her and walk her through that, that it wasn't her fault. But the truth is, what we do and what Ella did as a little kid, as a teenager, is we take all these emotions that are supposed to come and then flow out. She trapped them on the inside, and she never let them go. She hung on to them, right? I've hung on to a lot of things, a lot of emotions in life. A lot of things like this, when I was bullied and pushed down, right? I believed that I was no good, that I would never have a friend, right? When my parents scoffed at my achievement that I thought was so good, and they're like, well, it could be better. I took that as saying that I'm not good enough. I believed those lies in my life, and I hung on to them, right? In relationships, maybe someone left you. Maybe someone broke your heart. Those emotions are not meant to be trapped, but they're meant to be released. This is what the Word of God says about it. It says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That means mourning is okay. And it's our job as in the body of Christ to mourn with those who mourn, to help it, to get it out, right? Those emotions are meant to be expressed. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So what we're to do with our emotions, our anxiety, all those things is offer them back up to the Lord and let them go. Let them go. Those are lies from the past that you don't have to believe. Those are anxiety. Those are beliefs about yourself and emotions that need to be expressed. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. I want you to understand that verse. In your anger, do not sin. The other version says, be angry and sin not. A lot of times we think that being angry or having negative emotions aren't from God. Well, it's okay. It's all part of the human process. You're going to have emotions. We have an organ for it. God made it, and we're going to feel things. We're going to feel them intensely. But it says, in your anger, do not sin. Right? I couldn't bring stuff to God because when I would bring my feelings to God, I would, out of my frustration, start blaming God. You put me in this situation. This happened because of this. If this would have worked out this way, if you would have answered my prayer, if this person would have done that, right? I'm disrespectfully expressing my emotions. It wasn't God. You have to own your own emotions. You can't blame somebody else for something that you're going through. Like, I love it. You made me mad. It made so much sense at the time, right? Yeah, it was you. You did that. You kicked me. You tripped me, right? You lied to me. You made me mad. No. The truth is, who's responsible for your emotions? You are. And what are we supposed to do with them? Be angry and sin not. Don't kick them back. Right? Don't trip them back. Don't talk behind their back. Right? When we pin up these emotions and negative things that happen in our life, in our heart, what starts to happen is it starts to get stanky. That would be stinky, but the way Johnny says is stanky. Right? That's stanky. I don't know why I said, why do I say it that way, Linda? What's wrong with me? Right? It's like garbage that's in the bag too long, and then suddenly you're carrying it and it opens. And then the little maggots. Yeah. Right? But that's what happens with emotions. If you trap them in your heart and you don't display them, you don't get rid of them, they're going to stink. They're going to stay inside there. And then what happens is out of no place, they blow up. Right? Eric does something to me. I couldn't believe that Eric did that. And all these emotions that are stanky come out all over the place, and pretty soon I'm ready to kill Eric. Right? I'm ready to destroy him. Why did I blow up so much? Because all these emotions that are supposed to be expressed, right, and gone through, explode. Boom. I'm not mad at Eric. I'm mad at all those other things I jammed in my heart, but I finally had an opportunity. I got poked hard enough that it blew up. Yeah. Are you mad at Eric or? No. Okay. He can relate to my sermon. Right. Anyway, we'll leave it right there. See, negative emotions make me defensive. I don't know why they do. They just do. I just get defensive when I'm feeling that stuff. Right? I start blaming other people. I start blaming God. But when we express emotions and we bring them to God, we're supposed to do it in a respectful way. It kind of sounds a little bit something like this. Lord, I'm so angry that this happened. I was so hurt. I'm completely devastated. But Lord, I trust you. No matter what happens, Lord, I know that you have me in your hands. That's the way to express your emotions. Not, Lord, it made me so mad that this happened to me. I'm so frustrated, and it's your fault. I can't believe you don't watch out over your child. I can't believe that all these things happen to me. Things are never going to work out. My life is never going to straighten out. I'm an embarrassment to me. I'm an embarrassment to my family. See what I'm saying? That's an unfortunate and not the way to express our emotions. But honestly, I was so afraid that it was going to come out that way that I pent it inside. I kept it in there. Because I didn't want to disrespect God, but yet I had all these negative emotions. Something in life had told me that you can't express negativity and you can't express emotions. That's not what a good boy does. That's not what a good girl does. You don't complain. You don't admit that anything is affecting you. You're too strong for that, right? Keep those emotions inside because they give you strength, right? They make you a better athlete because you play angry. Oh, that's just me. That's not you. Sorry. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares in the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Pray them out. Deal with those negative emotions. You know, Job went through a lot. If you ever read the book of Job, Job is expressing his feelings a lot. God never corrected him for expressing his emotions. Bring it to the Lord. Don't hide it in your heart. Get it out there. God gave you this heart to express those emotions. Do it in a respectful way. Philippians 4:6, I got to the middle of it, and then I got so excited about what it said, then I didn't read the... That happens to preachers sometimes. But it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Do you see the connection there? Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. Anybody want peace? Anybody want a guarded heart and mind through Christ Jesus? See, the third thing is let go of your burdens. That's if you're taking notes. Jesus has set us free from bondage, including ourselves. You know what? Some of my greatest bondage isn't my addictions or isn't the things that are around me. The biggest bondage that I have is my own thinking and my own emotions and my own stupidity. God set you free from yourself. You know what you have to do? Let go. You know, there are so many of... Pastor Jimmy and I read through the things that you guys had written down in your baggage. You let them go, and they're heartbreaking. I mean, you know, some of you, you didn't have to fill up front and back in tiny spacing, you know. Like, that's a lot of stuff to let go of. But, you know, some of you did. And so, and the most common one that we saw was, I can't forgive myself. Let me tell you right now, Jesus Christ has set you free from yourself. Jesus has set you free from your emotions, from your past. He has taken the power of that away. It no longer binds you, right? You had it in your hand, your past, and you let it go. And you are free. No longer entangled with the yoke of bondage. But you know what you do? Because you don't know anything different because it's what you've always done. Because of your negative thinking, because of the way that you've always lived your life, you reach back in and you say, no, that's me. God can set me free from anything but myself. Because I deserve it. I did it. I cannot forgive myself for what I did. I ruined my kid's life. I ruined, right? I ruined relationships. I ruined jobs. I was unfaithful. I deserve what I'm getting right now. Let me tell you something. You do not deserve it. You deserve freedom. You deserve to be set free from those things in your life that has always brought you bondage. Let go of your burdens. Jesus has set you free, even from ourselves. He has the authority over sin And every ruling and demonic authority will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And that includes you. But you know what? Up until now, maybe you didn't know that you could take that authority over yourself. You can. And you will. Since we have been set free to be a child of the King of Kings, we should not allow ourselves to be burdened by any sin. You can be free. Let go. I got one more story. The elephant. I heard the story. I can't verify it myself, but it was really good, so I'm going to use it anyway. There was a person at a circus, and he was observing these huge elephants, and I mean, they can crush a car, and they can break down a building. I mean, these things are massive. Their skin is so thick and powerful, and they were just tied up, standing there to this little post, right? And so the person was observing and saying, how can that huge, great elephant stay just tied up to that post and not just run and not just go wherever it wants to go? And the trainer said, it's real simple. When this elephant was a baby, we tied it up to this post, and when he was a baby, he wasn't big enough to break it. So as he grew up, the elephant just assumed that he wasn't big enough or strong enough to overcome that post. Yet that elephant was big enough, could crush that post and drag it down the road at 40 miles an hour, right? Because the elephant didn't know and didn't understand that the power that he had. Look, it's not our power that we're set free. It's by the power of Jesus Christ that we're set free. Isn't that true? And that power has set us completely free. If we are free, we are free indeed. Right? And those things that we think hold us back, don't. Don't give them authority in your life. Don't pick them back up. Live as a free person. We don't have to live up to other people's expectations. We don't have to live up to our own expectations. Do you ever let yourself down? Quite frequently. Right? We don't have to hang on to our control of the situation. You ever try to control all the situations and you're trying to manipulate stuff and get people together and, right? And you're trying to, maybe if I ask them to come to this, maybe they'll do this, right? Control is something that we can let go because those situations are in God's hands. You're not responsible for them. You're not responsible to control the situations in your life. God is. Give him control. Let go. You no longer have to be controlled by your own self-worth. You no longer have to be controlled by lies that you've been told about yourself. You, my friend, are free. You are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Your only job is to let go. That's it. Hold on to Jesus. Pastor Jimmy, worship team, would you mind coming? Yeah. I really feel that, there's sometimes in life when, and I found this to be true in church, that I needed to have that moment, that touch from God, that epiphany, that experience, right? I needed to go to the altar. I needed to pour out my life and pour out my heart, and I needed to have that moment where God just touched me and spoke to me. It's a beautiful thing. And so as the worship team starts to sing and starts to play, our altars are open. I want you to come maybe for the first time and experience freedom. Let it go. Let the things in your life that have bound you, let them no longer control you. You don't have to try harder. You just have to let them go. Whatever it is that I've spoken to you today, let it go. I got one more thing. All I know is the Lord wanted me to tell you that some of you have had dreams. Some of you had thoughts. Some of you have had inconceivable dreams that are just way beyond your achievement level. Something that God placed in your heart long ago that you just gave up on. because you think, well, that'll never happen. There's no way. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have anyone to help me. You've just placed it away. You put it in the back closet. But the Lord says to you today that those things, those dreams that have been unconceivable, that those were seeds that God is going to grow into a mighty tree. You know, there's so many times in life when you start to dream. I had a really good friend of mine who worked in hospice in the healthcare industry for years. And she just couldn't believe in her heart that she could ever be an RN. She had so much respect for him. And she's like, man, they work so hard and they're so smart. And she's like, I can never do that. That's just, you know, people told me in my past that I'm not school material. I wasn't good enough in math and I couldn't do it. That was a dream that she had. And you know what? God ignited that dream, and that little seed of a dream started to grow, and that growth grew into her today being an RN. God is going to do that. He's going to restore those dreams, those things that they're just hanging out there. Dream big dreams. God has given you freedom. What he's called you to do, he will provide for you. Walk in that. Don't turn away because you don't think. Right? Turn to it because God has caused that dream to come in your heart. Today, God is going to reveal those dreams to you. So during this last song, if you want to come forward, you want to come to the altar, I would encourage you. Sometimes you just need to move. And so come on up.